Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. Tonight's episode will be from the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to talk about what Paul means by the prepositional phrase in Christ in his letter to the Ephesians. The theme of the book of Ephesians is our vital union with Christ and our duty to live as such. And also very interesting is the fact that the word in the prepositional phrase in Christ occurs no less than 120 times in the Greek text. It is the biggest word in the book of Ephesians. And so Paul emphasizes in this particular letter our position as the body of Christ, and we are to grow into spiritual maturity because of who we are in Him. So, and Paul also emphasizes the fact that, as does the other writers of the New Testament, that their emphasis is never one believed at a point in time in Christ. That is not the emphasis in the New Testament. And the emphasis in the New Testament in the Greek text is on the constantly believing one. And that is, at a point in time, there is the initial belief, and then there is the growing awareness of what it means to be in Christ. So, the book of Ephesians has a rich vocabulary. It contains 42 words that occur nowhere else in the New Testament and 39 words that occur nowhere else in the Pauline epistles. So the emphasis here, once again, is on Christological ontology. And so I'm going to read from verse 1 of chapter 1. I'm going to read down to the last verse of the first chapter. And so, and please keep in mind that this letter to the Ephesians is also a circular letter. That is, it was not only for the church at Ephesus, but for other churches as well. Quote, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. And so you're going to see throughout this first chapter the emphasis on this phrase in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one whom he loves. Now, there are many very important theological terms that Paul will use in the letter to the Ephesians. And it's just incredible the way he does it. I won't have time, of course, to go into many of these words tonight, but I just want you to be aware of it. Verse 7, in him we have redemption redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished into us, not on us, into us in all wisdom and understanding. And he made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So the Pauline ontology includes the summing up of all things in Christ. And so when Paul speaks of in Christ, it denotes something marvelous because, first of all, we have this enduring vital union with Christ, who is our head. And in his letter to the church at Colossae, Paul talks about Christ the head, from whom we receive our nourishment as believing ones. But here, the emphasis is on the church as his body. Verse 11, in him, again, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were first to hope in Christ, might be for praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, full of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. And so this seal, in the Greek, it is the word karagma. And the ma suffix indicates that which is done. And so it means an impression, a symbol of engraving. So upon believing the gospel of your salvation, Paul writes, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. So believers are sealed. The seal indicates ownership. And so it is, and he goes on to explain what that means. So the promise, you are marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So believers have this wonderful new reality in their lives, and that is Jesus. Now, let me tell you that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Ephesians 1, 3 through 1, 14 forms one long sentence in the Greek text. That is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 is one long sentence. Paul is carried away. He is lifted up. He is excited. He is filled with the Spirit, and he is moved by the Spirit to write these wonderful truths for us. And so he is led away by God. He is, and because of who we are in him. And so it's just marvelous to read about his excitement. And he writes at the end of verse 14, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance and this incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. That is the called out one, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So these are living truths. And so Paul wants the saints to know. He wants the saints to be filled with the Spirit so they can grow in their understanding on what it means to be in Christ. We are living saints, not dead saints, and even dead saints are in his presence. The Bible never talks about dead saints. The Bible states absent from the body, present with the Lord. Those who have gone on before us are in what we call theologically the intermediate state, and they will return with him to receive their resurrection bodies. But so a new reality is in our lives, and that is Jesus. Old things, and Paul's emphasis in the Greek is that is the old worn out things of this life. Paul writes in Ephesians that we were dead in trespasses and sins, but that is not our estate anymore. We were dead, but now we have been raised up. We belong to him. And so therefore, as such, we inherit incredible blessings. And once you allow the Holy Spirit to fill your life with him and with the word, you're going to find that the very neurons of your brain changes in conformity with his will. And you will find that you will have, in order to be, it's to have perception, that is to understand the word, you need to be filled with the Spirit. And as your being changes, your spirit is your pneuma, is that part of you with which worships God. The soulical part of you changes and becomes sanctified so that here on this earth, on this plane, you can walk in truth. And so there's a vibrancy and a new reality for your entire being. So once again, the spirit, the pneuma, is that part of you which is capable of God consciousness and the worship of God. The soulical man, the mind, the heart, the will, those are sanctified through the Spirit. When the believer yields his life to the Holy Spirit of God, and then he or she can walk in sanctification and growing understanding in the Word of God. And so, as when Paul goes into chapter 2, he goes into greater detail about our past. And he talks more about what we were and what God has done for us. But in his first chapter, it is about the prepositional phrase in Christ and the freedom that we now have in him. So preposition in is locative of sphere, which speaks the new reality of where we are. And in Christ means a place of rest. So it is a preposition of a place or a position and rest. We rest from sin. We rest from the things of this life. While this world is passing away quickly and violently, the Bible says that the believer has peace in Christ. Good evening. May God bless you. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. And until next time, be prayerful.